this week on the Backtable Podcast.
Of course, it's very important to become a member. You have to pay a price, but I think the benefits that you can get from it are extensive. The AMP meeting, you get a discount that is almost, at least for Europeans, more or less get your membership for free. We have the journal, we have the M-Klein. Physicians in the US pay a little bit more. Physicians outside of the US and outside of Europe, they only pay $50 a year, which is affordable for everybody. With all the benefits that you can get, also the access to this discussion boards that we have to speak with people that have a lot of experience. If you want to build up your program, it is, I think, a great opportunity to have and one of the reasons to join the society.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Backtable, your source for all things endovascular and more. You can find all of our episodes online on any platform you prefer, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or directly through our website, backtable.com. Now, a quick word from our sponsors.
BD provides clinical education and training through the BD Peripheral Intervention Advanced Healthcare Providers courses. The BD Advanced team offers programs on advanced endovascular management of AV access, emerging techniques in the management of CLTI and venous disease, as well as many different resident programs and peer-to-peer opportunities. Contact your local BD representatives to learn more or visit the BD Advanced webpage.
This episode is supported by Reflow Medical. As makers of high-performance medical devices for peripheral and coronary interventions, Reflow asks the question, what's in your toolbox? Leading physicians rely on Reflow's suite of catheters for improved CTO crossing, vascular access, and complex PCI procedures, precision tools for even the most challenging cases. It's all about providing solutions for the unmet clinical needs. For more information, visit reflowmedical.com. And now back to the show.
So I'm Sabine as your host today, and I'm really excited to welcome Dr. Jos de Vendenberg from Lugano, Switzerland. And actually, he lives in Italy, too, so that's pretty neat. Welcome, host.
Thank you very much, Sabine. And it's even more complicated being Dutch and being migrated towards the south, which is actually a very good thing to do in life.
Oh, like we were saying, Europe is amazing. So, I mean, you're extremely prolific. Our audience probably has read at least one of your 250-plus articles. Or has seen you. I mean, you're the editor on basically every worthwhile journal, vascular journal out there. And most relevant, you're also the board member of CLI Global Society, which is what we're going to talk about today. But before we do all that, let's get a little intro. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. I mean, you mentioned being Dutch and moving. Just how did you get where you are now?
I got where I'm now 20 years ago when they more or less asked me to come over. They were looking for an interventional radiologist. I had a perfectly fine place in the Netherlands at the time, a large institution where I worked. But I was still dedicating a lot of my time also to the non-vascular work, non-interventional work, also running the department as manager at the time. And they offered me the opportunity just to have a full-time IR job, which is very, very difficult to find. And on top of that, my wife is Italian, and you can imagine that living as an Italian in the Netherlands is a different thing as compared to a Dutch guy now living in Italy and working in Switzerland. So that is the way I got here in the southern part of Europe, in the Italian-speaking part of Switzerland. And I've been working there now for almost 20 years. In 2004, in July, I started working in this region.
Very nice. And tell us a little bit more about your practice. You mentioned it's 100% IR. You personally, are you mainly doing vascular work? Or are you still doing the whole breadth of IR?
I still do everything, but mainly at the time that I was still on call, I would do also the biliary stuff and abscess drainages. It's a little bit divided now. I'm not on call anymore, so the number of that kind of procedures is very, very limited currently. And I always have been very, very much involved in vascular work. It was always 95%, also in the Netherlands, of my full-time job.
Is it, because I saw that you have a position at University of Bern, so you're at the hospital, but you don't have to take call? Have you earned that status now that you're just, you know, you're a big man on campus and you don't need to take call?
No. Well, I recently changed institution and within the city, and that made it possible to stop the on calls. And I must say that is a thing that I don't miss at all.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, good. Well, I mean, it sounds like you have got a great gig going on. You've been around for a while. You've been around the block. Now, tell us, what is CLI Global?
CLI Global Society is a society that was founded in 2016. It's a really multidisciplinary society, so it's not a professional society. We have people from all specialties, vascular surgeons, interventional cardiologists, interventional angiologists, interventional radiologists, wound care physicians, vascular medicine people. And in 2016, the CLI Global Society was founded by six very important people. First of all, the late Alan Hirsch, and then furthermore, Barry Katzen, Frank Veith, Jihad Mustafa, Michael Jeff, and Dirk Scheinert. And I joined, and it is also a relatively interesting story. I was asked by Barry Katzen in 2019 during the AP Skivra meeting that was held in Bali at the time. To replace one of the founding members, and I was very honored to take that position. And then I became a member of the CLI Global Board. And then in 2022, we started with the European chapter, because there's so many differences between the practice and everything that is surrounding CLI between the US and Europe, that we needed to create a European chapter of the CLI Global Society. And that was started in March 2022. So we're almost celebrating 2 years.
About 2 years old now.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many members does each section have? So the US and the European?
I just looked that up. We are, I think, around 300 to 400 global members, and somewhere between 50 and 75. European members currently.
Yeah, it's great. That's a lot of, you know, CLI fighters, you know.
Yeah, but we still need a little bit more, or much more, to really get the mission of the society done. And the mission is, as you probably know, really improve quality of life by preventing amputation and death due to CLI. And this is something that is a worldwide problem. And therefore, we need really to push for patient advocacy, education. And strangely enough, we still need to push to create awareness of the problem. A lot of people still don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very undertreated, unrecognized what to do in those situations. Now, I mean, so that's the mission of the society. Now, what are some things that you guys are doing to get to attain your goals, like awareness and education? What are some of the things that CLI Global has well established now?
I think one of the first things that were done by the society was really to make an inventory of what the problem surrounding CLI is, and that this lack of consensus, lack of awareness. Looking at research, there's very, very limited evidence-based research currently, and that is changing, fortunately. We have been working on that with the society. Specifically for the US, there was a problem in the coding for CLI. It's very difficult to find patients with CLI in large databases because the coding is lacking. And if you are not able to find the patients, you cannot get an idea of how big the problem is. So apart from the education and this coding thing, there are a lot of other activities that have been done over the last years. And I think the most important part is really the education. One of the committee members, Fadi Saab, has started the MCLIME meeting, which is a meeting that takes place every second Friday of the month at 7 a.m. Eastern time, which is then 1 o'clock in the afternoon here in Europe, which is a kind of Vesta
around. 5 a.m. And 5 a.m. at West Coast.
That's not, still an issue for the for the West Coast.
No,
so.
Right. M. Klein, right? So this is for this is the M. Klein meeting, M-C-L-I-N, that I always see on Twitter and socials showing that, hey, this is where you present a live case, right?
Yeah. You can bring your own case. You can discuss even cases that you haven't performed yet and just ask for the opinion of experts. And then some people just present cases that they have done, ran into complications or just interesting mm-hmm. cases, interesting approaches to discuss. And that is an hour discussion, very open, very low threshold to step in also as a participant. And I think what is also very important, and that is a good thing for everybody who joins, is that you can get CME credits for that activity. Mm-hmm. Which, however, is only something that the members are entitled to. You can probably still log in, but you cannot get your CME points.
So anyone, you don't have to be a member to participate in M. Klein. Okay. And it's the second Friday every month, right? So what other educational opportunities does CLI Global sponsor?
Yeah. Well, on a regular basis, there are some webinars. One of the recent ones was on uniting forces, the power of a CLI team, and also the importance of diagnosis coding, what's in it for me. These are also accessible for members to review on the website of the society, cliglobalsociety.org, for those who want to have a look at it. And that's just some of the examples there. Also online learning resources, how to...
Oh, good, yeah.
Develop a CLI program and increase awareness. How do you evaluate a patient pre-intervention? How do you perform your revascularization procedures? And not only endovascular, but also surgical and hybrid. And this is, I think, one of the big things that the CLI Global Society is doing, really stressing the multidisciplinary approach. It's well known that gives benefits. It's extremely well known in oncology. But in the vascular, peripheral vascular space, it is still something that really needs to be worked on. And then, of course, the post-intervention and the wound care. Those are also some of the online learning topics that you can find on the website. And that is all available for the members, for members and members only.
So to be a member, are there other requirements, or is it simply like a dues and anyone can be a member and have access to all of this resource?
Anybody can join. There's no vetting or whatever. As long as you pay your dues, you are entitled to receive all these benefits. Apart from the online learning and the webinars, we have the journal CLI that is included in the membership dues. And then the participation in the M. Klein, as mentioned.
And then I think there's the AMP meeting too, right? You guys have a very big presence. Is AMP done by CLI Global, or is it just kind of, you guys are one of the sponsors of it?
We typically are organizing a co-developed session during AMP. And mm-hmm. although you see a lot of the same faces during AMP and AMP Europe, as the board members, AMP is a meeting that is not a meeting organized by the CLI Global Society, but some of the board members are course co-directors. I'm course co-director for the AMP meeting in Chicago every year, and also the AMP Europe meeting that has been held now for 5 years. We started the year before COVID hit. There was a very bad,
of course,
that start.
Of course, I remember when AMP EU started. So that's great. I mean, there's obviously the amount of educational resources. I mean, CLI is such a complex, tough topic. I mean, probably the other big benefit of CLI Global is just having a network of people too that you can contact and ask questions. I mean, that's a huge that's a huge plus. It's something that we've developed on social media a lot, and this is like that on steroids, and you have access to all of that. Now, you mentioned that CLI Global, you had to create a separate chapter for Europe, and because things are so different. Let's talk about that a little bit. How is CLI, other than you talked about the coding, how is CLI management different in Europe compared to the US?
The management in itself is probably the same, and the same problems are here as well. We have the racial and gender disparities, a lot of influence on social status, on the presence of CLI, people just not getting access to the care that they need. Those are similarities with the US, but the entire problem that is complicating the situation in Europe is the fact that we are dealing with around 27 countries in the European Union, and then some countries that are outside of the EU, like the UK and Switzerland. And every country, even within the European Union, has a different reimbursement system. And that makes it very, very difficult to get things really done. One of the things that we have started with as the European chapter is to make an inventory of which countries are doing good, which are doing okay, and which are doing worst. And we looked a little bit at the outliers on each side of the spectrum to see if the reimbursement system could be a reason for not getting the proper care. If you look at Italy, for example, they have a very low amputation rate. Country like Austria has a high amputation rate. Depend on the reimbursement system. Italy has a national healthcare system, just like in the UK, the NHS, similar. Austria is a little bit mixed, private and public healthcare systems. But then also you find out that in some countries, the coding of amputations is completely different. So in Austria, a lot of the amputations are not related to CLI at all. Just a farmer or the carpenter that cuts a finger off is also counted.
Yeah.
So it's very, very difficult to really get the numbers right. And if you don't know the size of the problem, it's very difficult to act on that.
To treat it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I mean, there's, again, most people, you know, including me at times too, don't realize so much of this stuff that's going on in the background. I mean, you know, you're treating almost in a little bubble in the U.S. sometimes, especially if you're, you know, have a well-established peripheral vascular program and you just think that this is how it works in different places. But there is so much more complexity in the background, billing, coding. It seems to be way more complex in Europe than I thought the U.S. was bad. There's so much complexity. I mean, you know, is there a lot of collaboration, you know, between specialties? I know we mentioned it a little bit already. Obviously, in CLI Global there is, but in general, is there a lot of collaboration between specialties in Europe?
Typically, there is, but there is still a lot of room for improvement there. And it's really depending on the local situation and whether people really want to collaborate with others. I think been very fortunate in my career, having always worked together with vascular surgeons. And then for CLI, you need to include also a lot of other specialties. But having, let's say, the more or less in your DNA, the collaboration with a different specialty, knowing the strong points of your counterpart and the weak points and trying to be complementary and towards each other, that is really something that I've learned from the very beginning. And
true.
That makes it very easy to just leave something to somebody else and not find yourself in a situation where you think, well, I'm not going to ask somebody else because that's something that I don't want to do. And that only hurts the patient in the long run. So low threshold for consulting other specialties, other colleagues. And that has worked out pretty well in my situation.
Totally. That's great. And, you know, I always look at Europe and I see that, like, you guys get all the cool toys first, you know, you get to try all the new devices and us, we lag in the US. I mean, what type of innovations that, you know, right now are some trends that are occurring in Europe that you may think that may or may not be happening over here?
it's not that much anymore. And actually, all the companies that used to develop all the new things in Europe, because the European regulations were very, very easy to get through, that has become mm-hmm. very, very difficult over the last 2 to 3 years due to a change of regulatory things. So what we have seen now is that people are moving towards other countries like New Zealand, Central America, but also the US, and especially with the FDA now having these breakthrough programs. Sure. It's completely opposite, and actually we're getting the things now later than you.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. You know, even some of these like large bore thrombectomies and stuff, all that I saw, like, it's available in the US and not in Europe.
Exactly.
And I was shocked. I was like, oh, I thought we get all the things last. So now that makes more sense.
Yeah, and actually for Switzerland, which is not part of the EU, but they always have used the CE mark as their standard.
Yeah,
taking over that, they are now contemplating to take over the FDA standards in order not to miss the boats. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, what about, you know, any kind of future endeavors, you know, that you can share for CLI Global? I mean, what are some of the, you know, immediate and maybe not so immediate goals, tangible goals that you guys have?
For the European chapter, we are still working on the reimbursement issue with one of my board members in the European chapter, Thomas Zellan. He's working on a German database looking at data or outcome data on open vascular, endovascular, or conservative treatment of CLI. We're still deepening out the reimbursement study, also together with the Irish KILNET group. That is a very interesting project we're working on. And for the global society, it's also the extension towards Asia Pacific, which is very important because we really want to have a global presence. And currently, we have only one board member from the Asia Pacific, Andrew Holden from New Zealand, and one of the new members will probably be from Southeast Asia, also to get that into the picture. And then for the future, of course, Latin America and Africa, where the problem is also present.
Globally present, CLI Global. Yeah. And just to remind our audience, if you want to become a member, the website is cliglobal.com or .org?
.org. CLIGlobalSociety.org.
Good. So just so everyone knows, it's .org. You can sign up. I've seen really great things come out of your members. I mean, we've seen awesome things from, you know, Kumar Wadasari, Fadi Saab, Jihad, Marta, Lorenzo, August. I mean, those are just a few of the names that you guys are constantly contributing to the society and the condition as a whole. So it's good. I mean, raising awareness is part of what we're trying to do at Backtable too, raising awareness of your guys' society, of how people can help and learn and really help these people. Any parting words of wisdom, Jos, about anything more that you'd like to say?
Of course, it's very important to become a member. You have to pay a price, but I think the benefits that you can get from it are extensive. We already discussed the AMP meeting. You get a discount that is almost, at least for Europeans, the same amount as the discount that you get. So you more or less get your membership for free in that case. We have the journal. We have the M-Klein. Physicians in the U.S. pay a little bit more. Physicians outside of the U.S. and outside of Europe, they only pay $50 a year, which is, I think, something that is affordable for everybody. So I think with all the benefits that you can get, and what you mentioned, also the access to this discussion boards that we have, which are very low thresholds to speak with people that have a lot of experience. If you want to build up your program, that is, I think, a great opportunity to have and to one of the reasons to join the society.
Great. Well, yeah, I urge, you know, everyone who's listening and who's interested in treating CLI to please check out the website. Again, that's cliglobal.org, and really consider becoming a member. I mean, this is great. Yos and all of you on the board and the founders, what you guys have created. So thank you so much. Thanks for being part of the show. I know we have a big time difference here, but I'd just like to thank you and really thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sabine, for having me. And this was a very nice conversation. My first podcast. So that's also something to keep in mind. And I really want to thank the Backtable organization for giving us the opportunity to present on the CLI Global Society. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe, rate the podcast 5 stars, and share with a friend. If you have any questions or comments, direct message us @_Backtable on Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. Backtable is produced and hosted by myself, Aaron Fritz, and co-hosts
Chris Beck,
Sabine Dong,
Michael Barraza,
and Ali Behetti.
Our audio team is led by Kieran Gannon, with support from
Josh McWhirter,
Aaron Bowles,
Josh Spencer.
Design and digital marketing led by Brian Schmitz.
Social media and PR by Ann Dang,
Manisha Naganathanahalli,
and Manbir Singh Sundu.
Administrative support provided by Jamila Kinnebrew.
Intro and extra music is Ripperoo by Skeptic Moon. Find us on Spotify or at local live music venues in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Thanks again for listening.